God's view on righteousness does not change. God's view on holiness does not change. God's view on love does not change. The world, however, keeps on moving, keeps on changing its opinion, develops, evolves, changes. And we are faced with this dilemma that we know the phrase so well that though we're in the world, we're not of the world. Although we're not of the world, we are still in the world. And my sermon tonight is, how do we live in the world? I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. It says the following. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Or what harmony is there between Christ and Baal? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and I will walk with them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Challenging portion of scripture, but I would like to ask you, why would God want us to separate ourselves from the world? Why would God want us to separate ourselves from the world? Is it simply because the world is changing? Or is there another reason why God wants us to separate ourselves from the world? There's some clues. Why do you think do God want us to be separate from the world? Any ideas? Without looking at the script, why do you think God wants us to be separate from the world? Because the world is evil and God is? Okay. Well, can we, or why can't we be part of the world and be holy? Only serve one master. Why does God want us to be separate? Let's maybe start that way. Why does He want us to be separate? Okay, we know the world is evil. That's one reason. We are His representatives, yes. Why does God want us to be separate from the world? To have the right focus on Him, yes. Because God wants to live with us. Remember the portion of Scripture that I just read? And He wants to be our God and our Father. And He wants us to belong to Him. So God wants us to be separate so that we may belong to Him. But there's a reason why we shouldn't be part of the world. Like someone says, the fact that God is holy and that the world is evil. But why do we have to be separate from the world to belong to God? Why can't we be part of the world and be holy? Have you ever thought of that? Why can't we be part of the world and holy? Because the world is evil. And the world is moving in the opposite direction. The world is moving away from God. So God wants to have a relationship with us. But we need to separate ourselves from the world because the world is moving in a particular direction. And if you want to be in a relationship with God, you cannot move with the world because where God is and where the world is moving is in two opposite directions. Not that God is necessarily moving as much as the world is moving away, but you understand what I mean. God says, listen, yeah, the world and everything in this world is moving in a particular direction and it is a moving away from me. I want you to belong to me. I want to call you my own. I want to be your father. I want you to be my sons and my daughters. I want to live with you and walk with you. But you cannot, therefore, you cannot be part of the world because of its evil and because of its inclination to walk and to move away from me. In 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17, we read, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eye, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires passes away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." And again we see that there's a contradiction between the will of God and the desires of the world. And that's why I like that clip, because it visualizes so beautifully the fact that the world is moving. The desires of the world is contrary to the will of God, which remains the same. But the world's desires keeps on moving further and further away from the will of God. And therefore God is saying, be separate. Be separate from that, because I want you to be close to me. And the world is moving in a different direction. We read in the beginning, it says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Now it's interesting, this week somebody asked me concerning Matthew 11 verse 28, where Jesus also talked about being yoked together. Where he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, we have this metaphor of being yoked together. And that's a very simple picture in the time of Jesus, of being yoked together. A yoke is an instrument of labor. And he speaks about rest, but he also speaks about work. He speaks about those who are heavy laden with burdens to come and exchange their burdens for his burden. Because he ends up in saying that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is not saying that you're going to not have any burden anymore. He's actually speaking about an exchange. He says, you are going in a particular direction. I want you to let that go and take up my yoke. The oxen were yoked together on a plow that was meant to pull, to work. So Jesus is saying, I'm moving in a direction. I want you to let go of what is burdening you and take my yoke upon me and pull with me, work with me. I'm going in a direction. And I want you to let go of your burdens and exchange it for mine. And learn from me as I'm moving in this direction. And then in the previous scripture, Paul goes on and says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then he continues by quoting the Old Testament where God says, do not be part of the world, but be separate. Come out from among them. Because they're working in a different direction to where God is going. In James 4, verse 3 to 5, we read the following. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulteresses and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now I'm not going to spend much time concerning the concept of God being jealous. When Pastor Fred was here last, he shared about the fact that God is a jealous God. I want to focus on the fact that the world is clearly moving. Or I want to focus on the fact that why does God call us to be separate? Why would He want us to be separate? Because friendship with the world, He says, is being like an enemy to God. Because the world is moving away from God. And we are called to be out of the world. Now in the Old Testament, we see that very clearly how God called His people to be different. to be different to all the other nations in serving Him. But in the New Testament and in the concept of the world, one must maybe ask oneself, what is the world that God says that we need to be separate of? What is the world? Because clearly we can't, you know, go on a spaceship to Mars or to the moon and colonize. Did God mean us to kind of find a way out of the world? Or is there something else? Is it material things? Or is it the love of material things? Is it philosophy? Or philosophy that contradicts the will of God? The existence of God? What is the world? The world is anything that is contrary or opposed to the knowledge and the will of God. The spirit, the system, the power that drives, that controls the system in the world. You see, this world refers to a vast system of this age that exists independent of God. The power and the spirit that drives, and that is controlled by Satan. It's not money as much as it is the love of money. So it's not the material, but it is the spirit that is behind the material that entices, that draws people away from God and the knowledge of God and the will of God. There is in everything that we face today, there is a power and a spirit at work to draw man away from God. It consists not only of the obvious evil of immorality, of sinful lifestyle and values of the world, but also the spirit of rebellion that is behind it, that is against God. And Satan uses the world's ideas, the morality, the philosophies, the culture, the media, the education, the music, the fashion, etc., to draw man away from God, to oppose God, to oppose His will, to oppose His righteous standards, and to oppose His people. The medical profession is used to kill unborn babies. Education, or the educational system, is used to promote humanistic philosophy. Entertainment media is used to undermine biblical moral standards. I remember there's a movie out in the documentary of this one guy that opposed... Well, I don't know what's the movie's name. It's the guy that kind of won the legal battle to legalize pornography. Anybody saw that movie? The whole battle about this guy fighting God. It's something about God, or fighting God, or something like that. Sorry? The man who... Something like that. Something that is like... Yeah. The one is named the state... I can't remember. But anyway, the whole story about this man that basically won the right to introduce pornography or to legalize pornography. And as we know it today, how it is widespread through everything that we see and watch. And growing up, you know, age restrictions, how that has changed. Today, you know, a 13-rated movie in my days, back in the days, was a 21-rated movie or an 18-rated movie. The standards of keep on shifting. And the media is used to break down standards of morality. And so you know, as you are aware in life, how the world moves on. But we need to be aware of the spirit and the power behind these things. We need to be aware of the fact, through everything that you face in this world, the system behind the world is controlled by Satan. Do not be deceived. And he will use everything within this world to draw man away from God. Therefore, Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. To the way it thinks, to the way it moves, you must be conformed no longer to this pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And after you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will know, and you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. So to know the will of God, you need to change the way you think if you used to live in the world. You need to change from the world. Last week, Dr. Malek spoke about the people of God while they were still in Egypt and their journey out of Egypt. And it was also interesting to note that the very thing that they took with them, what they plundered from the Egyptians, became an idol. The silver and gold, which was favor, were used by them to create the calf, which became an idol. But something that caught my heart was the fact that while they were still slaves, the people of God, to keep them slaves, was that decree for the sons, the children, to be killed. Remember? And that they were offered to the Nile God. They were killed to be, they were to be thrown into the Nile as a sacrifice. They were offered to the God of the Egyptians. To keep them bondaged, to distort their identity, to intermingle so that they are forced to marry the Egyptian men, because there were no longer men in the country. So that they can lose their identity as the people of God. What do you think are the gods of this world today? What would you say are the gods of this world? Any idea? Greed? Money, power, status, yes. What is the most powerful vehicle to establish what is contrary to the knowledge and will of God? Philosophy. Evolution. Education. Education is a very powerful vehicle to implement the philosophy of the world, which is contrary to the knowledge and the existence of God. One thing that is more valued than anything else in this world is your education and who you were taught by and where. Who do you offer your children to? See, not a lot has changed. If I want to break your identity, give me your children. And I will teach them my philosophy. You know, kids are very open to new ideas when they are young. They are very impressible by role models and teachers. Statistics say that most kids have developed a solid sense of right and wrong by the age of 9. Statistics says that most people have decided how they're going to respond to Christ's death and resurrection by the age of 12. And most children have made up their mind concerning spiritual matters by the age of 13. What does secular school teach about right and wrong? That is established by the age of 9. That it is relative. What does the secular church or school teach about Christ's death and resurrection? What does the secular school teach about spiritual matters? You see, the world is moving away. And we must be aware of the spirit and the power behind the system in the world. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Not in vain that train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it." It's not a guarantee, but it is the principle that counts. See, most people make up their mind concerning Christ as a child, statistically. It is because of their upbringing, statistically, that most people believe in that what they were taught and experienced as a child. That is why we're starting a Christian school next year. We're starting a Christian school because we understand the value, but we understand the power and the spirit behind the world as well. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 7, God speaks to the people of Israel and says, listen here, when you come into the land that I have promised you, I do not want you to forget me. So therefore, these commandments that I give you today, that are upon your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now it's interesting, there are only 3 Christian schools in London. There are 12 million people. There are only 3 Christian schools left. There's none in Southwest London. I'm not talking about those in name Christian and still teaches the secular curriculum. I'm talking about Christian schools. There's only 3 in London. The curriculum that is based... Who are the defined?
Who has defined the 3? Who set up?
Research. We're researching that. The curriculums. There are only 3 in London that use a biblical curriculum to teach and not a secular. Proverbs says that knowledge and wisdom start with the fear of God. Knowledge and wisdom starts with the fear of God. That's not what the world teaches. Because the world is after our children to redefine who we are. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deception philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Therefore, do not be conformed any longer, Romans 12, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to know, to test, to approve what the will of God is. That's education. As an example. But what are the things that you allow to influence you? What are the things that you allow to influence you? What are the things that you expose yourself to? What are the relationships you bound yourself to? Who are those relationships in your life that you bind yourself to? You know that scripture that we started off with in 2 Corinthians that says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do I have righteousness with wickedness in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Or what harmony is there between God and the idol? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement is there between God and idols? You know, so many times you find Christians in relationships. It speaks very clearly about do not be yoked with unbelievers. Do not move together, working together in the same. Do not try to do that. Don't yoke yourself with an unbeliever. Because God is here and the world is moving there. And the word is saying, do not now come and yoke yourself in a relationship that will define your direction. That's what it means to be yoked together. It is being in a relationship that defines your direction. Because you cannot steer in two different ways when you're yoked together. You can only move in one direction. And therefore, God is saying, do not be yoked together with those who are moving in an opposite direction. It speaks about relationships that define the direction of your life. In other words, romantic relationships. You know, you see it all the time. 95% of Christians that is in a romantic relationship that defines the direction of their life, 95% of them have to compromise to stay in that relationship. You have to let go of certain things. You have to compromise to be able to move in a direction. It's interesting. It's always the Christian. You live in a dream world if you think the other person is going to embrace all your values. It goes beyond just romantic relationships. It goes to relationships that define where you are going. If you're a businessman and you have to go into a partnership, be careful. Be careful who defines the direction of your business, of your livelihood, of your reputation, of your honor, of your integrity. Be careful. The Bible is very clear. Be careful of relationships that define the direction. Not just be careful, but stay away if it's an unbeliever. So why does God say in His Word that we must be separate? Why does He say that? I mean, why does He say in Matthew 6 that we should not worry? I mean, if we know God is holy and the world is evil, and we all know that the world is moving in a different direction, I'm sure it's not news to us. But yet God goes and says it, nevertheless, come out from them. Separate yourself from them. He says in Matthew, do not worry about the things that the world worry. You know why He says do not worry? Because we are susceptible to worry. We have a tendency to worry. Because we are broken, we are a fallen, incomplete humanity. And we have a tendency to worry. As Christians, we have a tendency to worry about the things that the world is worrying for. Therefore, God says, do not worry. Because we have this tendency to worry. And you know what that worry is going to do? It's going to distract you from the eternal purposes of God. So therefore, God says, do not worry. Because we need to hear it. Because we have a tendency to worry about the things that the world worry. Therefore, God says, do not worry. The reason He says, be separate, is because we have a tendency to move with the world instead of staying where God is, moving away from the world to where God is. So therefore, God says to us, be separate. Because we have a tendency to compromise. To integrate with the world. To become part of the world. To become like the world. You know, to go with the flow. To do the things that the world do. To watch the things that the world does. To talk about the things that the world talk. Send our kids to the same places as the world does. You know, to become part of the world. It sounds logical to us. It sounds the right thing to do. Therefore, God says, that's why God says, be separate. Because we need to hear that. Because integrating with the world will lead to a compromise with our relationship with Him. You know, separation has a negative and it has a positive. Negative, away from the world, away from sin, away from the culture and the way of thinking and the way of being and the way of doing and the way of dressing and the way of communicating and the way of business. We need to move away from that. That's the negative. The positive is moving towards God. It's not just, I'm cutting the world off. Nothing to do with it. It also involves moving closer to God. Because God says, I want to be your Father. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. I want you to be my sons and daughters. So it has a positive and a negative. A moving away from, but a moving closer to God. I remember when I was in the army, God spoke to me about being different to the world. Being different to how the world thinks. Now, at that time when God spoke to me, I was in the military that thinks in a particular way. Different to the world already. But yet not according to God. And there I decided I am going to be faithful to God. And I'm going to move away from that what is evil and I'm going to pursue God. I'm not going to conform to the mold and the expectations. I'm not going to swear on my troops. Even though I'm the platoon sergeant, I'm not going to swear. I'll scream at them and I'll be loud and I'll use language to convey a message, but I will not swear, which is unheard of. I will not live the lifestyle of an NCO, the drink, the sex, the fights. I will not do that. Even though it might be perceived as weakness, I will not do that. And you know what I've learned? As I stepped away from those things, within me there was a desire to grow closer to God. The moment I made that decision, the moment I stepped on the side, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to conform to this. I'm going to conform to the will of God. Within me, there was a sudden yearning, almost a desperation to grow closer to God, because now I need God more than ever to give me the wisdom to be effective and being different. And it's amazing to see how God used that in my life. How those colleagues of mine started to come to me with their problems and with their issues and the opportunities I got, because I was different, because I was not like the rest. So from the troop to the NCO, I started to have conversations about their problems and their issues. And I earned their respect because I didn't compromise on what I believed. In John chapter 17, verse 14 to 18, it says, Jesus praying for his disciples, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Because they have received my word, they are not of the world in the same way as I am not of the world, and therefore the world hates them, because they are not of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Sanctify them. Set them apart by your word, because your word is the truth. And as you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. You know, it's this interesting picture of Jesus saying, I have given them your word, and they have received that, and that what they have received has sanctified them, and I have called them out of the world, Father. They are no longer of the world in the same measure I am not of the world. But God, I don't ask you to take them out. God, as a matter of fact, now that they are sanctified, now that they have been taken out of the world, now that they have been separated unto me, unto us, God, now I'm sending them back into the world. First, you need to come out of the world, become different to the world. And then God calls us back into the world. Does He call us back into the world now to conform again to the world? To become like the world? Now He calls us to be different in the midst of the world. Jesus said in John 9, He says, I am the light of the world. Or while I'm in the world, even though I'm not of the world, but while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Because I'm not of it. I'm different. I am so different as light is to darkness. And then later on, we know that God calls us the light of the world. He says, now you also go back into the world and be as different as light is to darkness. Shine. Let people see that you are different. Let them see that you belong to me. Be different. In Matthew 5, verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stead, and it gives light for everyone in the house. You know, the point that the word is trying to make is you are meant to be different. And you're meant to be seen as different. Not just different and hidden, that nobody knows that you're different. You're meant to be different and clearly seen that you're different. As a matter of fact, this light is from darkness. You know why? Because God is so different to this world. God is so different to this world, and this world needs to see the alternative within the world. The world needs to see the alternative to what the world has to present. And we are meant to be the alternative. So we cannot become more like the world. As a matter of fact, the more we become like the world, the more the world will trample over us and expose us as being hypocrites, as being just like the world, just dressed ourselves with a spirituality around it, giving ourselves a spiritual purpose to follow my own purpose, my own destiny, my own prosperity, my own political agenda, my own house. You see, the world doesn't need that. It needs an alternative. It will not love you for the alternative that you present. Jesus also clear. It says, the world hated me, it will hate you because you're no longer of the world. And the reason why they hate you is because you're not of the world. So that's why they will hate you. But they need to see the alternative because the world, you know, is actually desperate for something else. You can see in this economic crisis that we're going through, all of a sudden, integrity. What has happened to integrity, they all say. How could these people possibly do this? We need to bring it back. You see, the world needs to see it because they are actually desperate. Even though they will hate you for it and crucify you for it and stone you for it and reject you for it, they are actually desperate to see what integrity is. They want to see what a marriage is that works. Because they have lost faith in it. They don't believe in it. But deep inside, they want to believe in a love that is unconditional for who I am, no matter what changes. See, they want to see, they're desperate for it. We shouldn't be ashamed to be different. Because we are called to be different. The world needs to clearly know who are the sons of God. In 1 Peter 2, verse 10 to 12, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. We have a tendency to conform, which leads to compromise. So separate yourself from the world. And you know what will happen? As you separate yourself from the world, God will come and visit you. He will make your home in you. His home in you. He will come and tabernacle over you. He will come and fill you as you step away from the world. And you will grow in your relationship with Him, and His presence will abide in you. That is what separation is. That is what God's word says to us who live in the world. How to live in the world. To be separate. I want to conclude with this challenge. As I was preparing, I realized there are many things in our lives that distract us, that draws us away from God. I want to challenge you to find just one thing that distracts you from God and replace that with spending time with God. And see what difference it makes in your life. Find just one thing that distracts you and spend that time with God and see what difference it makes in your life, in your relationship with God. See how it changes you. See how you may experience His presence in your life, how God will come and fill you. Take that step and say, God, I want to be different. I want to sanctify, separate myself to You, God, and Your work. And then go back into the world from that place as those who've been separated. Colossians 3 in conclusion, verse 1 to 4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. I read it again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Remember your calling. Remember that God has called you. Don't forget your calling. Embrace God. Separate yourself from the world. And be a light. We are meant to be different. But then we're meant to be back into the world. So that the world can see the difference. That the world may know the difference. That they can see in me and you what it is to serve God. And God will come and empower, He will come and live and walk and fill you like you haven't experienced before. Amen. I'm going to give us an opportunity to reflect as the band comes forward. And we're going to share in communion. Let us just pray. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your faithfulness, God. We thank You, God, for the security and the knowing, God, that You do not change, God. You remain the same, God. Even in a world that constantly changes the goalposts and is so confused about where it's going, Lord, I thank You that You do not change. You are the stability in our lives. Then when we do not know where to turn to, God, we can turn to You and know that You are still the same. You have not changed, God. You know the beginning from the end. And You have not changed. God, You knew me. You knew our weaknesses. You knew our sinfulness, God, and You did not change, but You gave Your Son. You gave Your Son that we may have life, God. life in eternity with you, God. We thank you for that great and awesome privilege, God. God, we stand before you and we acknowledge, God, that we are weak, that we are incomplete, God, that we have a tendency, God, to be conformed, God, to so many things. God, tonight we just want to come to a place where we want to separate ourselves from the world and the way the world thinks, the way the world does. God, we want to make a choice. God, we want to draw a line. God, today we want to say again that we belong to you and not to the world. That in this place, God, we are truly strangers and aliens. Because we belong to a different country, a heavenly country. And we are not of this world, but yet we are in it, God, as strangers, as pilgrims, God, just passing through, being redeemed by your blood, being called by name, being accepted. God, I pray that you will give us the boldness in this week to reflect, God, again on who you are, on your righteousness, on your definition and standard for life. God, I pray, Lord, that as we reflect on that, that we will embrace that, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we come to you, Lord, to ask you to come and show us more of you, God, that we will conform to what we see. And God, I pray that you will give us the boldness to walk back into the world with that what we have seen, and that what we have heard, that what have changed us. God, I pray that we will not be ashamed, that we will not hide, God, who we are in you. God, I pray that you will show us, God, by your grace, the things that has compromised us in the way we think and the way we do. God, when we face the questions of this life, that we will turn to you for answers, to your word, to wait upon your voice, to speak to us, God. I pray that we may find our strength and our hope in you, Lord. And Lord, as we separate ourselves from this world, God, I pray that we will turn not just away from it, but we'll turn to you. I pray, God, that you will come and fill us more. I pray that you will come and speak to us. I pray that you will come and impart to us, God, the life that you have intended for us, God, and for this world. God, we want to yoke ourselves with you. And God, I want to pray for those who are maybe considering or maybe in a relationship with someone that is not moving towards you but are moving away from you. God, I pray that you will give them the boldness, God, to choose you. God, I pray, Lord, for people that needs to make decisions that will influence the direction of their life. God, I pray that they will choose you. And that they will yoke themselves, God, to people that follows you and not this world. God, I want to pray for those, God, who are struggling to stand up for the truth. God, I pray that they may see that you have called them to be a light on a lampstand. That they do not need to be afraid to be different. That they don't need to be afraid that they may cause an offense, because they are already an offense to this world. I pray, God, for boldness, for lights to start to shine in this world, God. In our homes, in our workplaces, among our friends, God, I pray that we will no longer compromise in our identity. We thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life and for godliness.